listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And because it's 3 o'clock Central Time, it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires. We're going to talk money, folks, because what is this election about? Lots of things. But perhaps number one on that list, it is about money, 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 money. The theme this week is America the Rich, and it is my privilege and pleasure to welcome my next guest, Bill Lozonik. Bill is one of the world's foremost experts on stock buybacks and corporate resource allocation. This matters. It matters a lot because when we talk about things like what your minimum wage is and things like that, often the retort is, well, we just can't afford to pay an actual living wage. Turns out, most of the time, that's a lot of hooey. Bill is a professor emeritus of economics at UMass and a co-founder and president of the Academic Industry Research Network based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He received the HBR McKinsey Award for Outstanding Article in the Harvard Business Review for his article, Profits Without Prosperity. Stock buybacks manipulate the market and leave most Americans worse off. And in January 2020, Oxford University Press published his book, co-authored with Jang Sub-Shin, Predatory Value Extraction, How the Looting of the Business Corporation Became the U.S. Norm and How Sustainable Prosperity Can Be Restored. Welcome, Bill. I love talking to a fellow nerd. I say that with love and respect. I really appreciate you making time this afternoon.
It's my pleasure.
Let's start with the basics. What's a stock buyback and who benefits from them?
Okay. So, a stock buyback is simply a case of the company, which has stock issued on the market, telling its broker, go buy some of that stock on the market. It's called an open market share repurchase. And it helps boost the stock price because just by adding more demand to the market for your own stock, you boost the stock price. It also leads to the stock price goes up, there's speculation on the stock price. In any case, it's a way of manipulating your stock prices. And that's what they're used for. They're massive in the U.S. economy. So for the S&P 500 companies, five of the largest companies in the United States, the decade 2013 to 2022, we update the data every year, it was close to $7 trillion in stock buybacks, probably about $6.8 trillion altogether.
Holy cow, let me just hop in here. Bill, $7 trillion in these open market share repurchases, a.k.a. stock buybacks, over what period of time? And this was just
over
the...
Over a decade. Yeah. So it's about, so it's, every year they're doing close to about $700 billion.
Wow.
There's even been years on average, there's years that they've done close to a trillion.
And this is just the S&P 500 as well, correct?
Just those companies. Now, it tends to be among those companies.
Yes.
It tends to be some of the largest ones that do most of the buybacks.
Yep. Makes sense.
One example would be Apple itself. It's by far the biggest stock repurchaser ever. It's done $701 billion over the last 12 years, about $60 billion a year. No other company comes close. Okay. But for those companies... Now, what's important is when the companies make profits, they can use those profits to keep their workers employed, to pay them higher wages. They could potentially pay more taxes to the government to support all the infrastructure and knowledge that they use that we provide. They could lower their prices to consumers. They can invest in the next generation of innovative products, which we want them to do, and that will keep people employed in productive employment. So when they just spend all this money on stock buybacks, they're giving that money away to the stock market. And now that isn't the only way they distribute money to the stock market. The traditional way of distributing money to the stock market is dividends. Okay. And dividends over that same period were about 4.8 $1 trillion. They were actually less than buybacks, but they were about 40% of net income. Buybacks were about 57% of net income. It's almost all the net income is going to shareholders in one way or another. Now, there's a difference because when people get dividends, they get it for holding the shares.
Yes.
And that's a stream of income. And if we had a more equal society, we might have a more equal distribution of shareholding. That's very unequal. So that's a problem in and of itself when you have lots of dividends going to a small number of people. But the buybacks go to people who are in the position to sell the shares. And
right.
To know time the potential.
Let me just, I just want to summarize very briefly, and then we're going to dig into those buybacks, because this is really how billionaires become billionaires and stay billionaires and get more billions. But what Bill just said, and I want to repeat it back in case I get anything wrong, Bill, what you just said is that we listed out all of the ways that a corporation can use their net income. In other words, the profit or net profits that they've made after they pay all their expenses. We can pay workers more. They can pay more in taxes to help support the infrastructure that they use to make all that money. They could lower prices to consumers. They could invest in R&D. Or the last two options are these massive stock buybacks and dividends. And I think what I heard you just say, Bill, was that if you combine dividends plus the stock buybacks, that equals upwards of 90% of the net income of companies. In other words, to the exclusion of all of those other things that we just talked about, higher wages, more taxes, lower prices, research and development, all of those are only a small fraction, less than 10%. Every other bit of net income is going to enrich shareholders. Did I get that right?
That's right. And so any worker who is going to work at a company, if they don't know what the company is doing in terms of stock buybacks, which often they don't, then they don't know that they are getting robbed. That money, all those other things you mentioned that it could go to, that's about value creation.
Yes.
When taxpayers invest in knowledge and infrastructure the companies use, which they need, that's value creation. Workers go to work, they work hard, they create value. Now they get wages, so they take some value out. But they create value. And when you obviously produce the next generation of innovative products, whether it's EVs or pharmaceuticals or whatever, that creates value. Distributions to shareholders are all about extracting value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I call the book that I published 4 years ago, Predatory Value Extraction. Because it's even worse than that. It's not only is one group of people getting almost all the profits, and sometimes in many companies even more, and the companies will even take on debt to do buybacks and et cetera, cut the labor force. Not only they are basically not doing anything to create value.
Right.
So if you go and buy shares in Apple, we buy shares from somebody else. Apple doesn't get 1 cent of it. Now, I can give you a more extreme example. I'll use Apple case. Carl Icahn, a well-known corporate raider, hedge fund, they call him a hedge fund activist now.
Yep.
In the summer of 2013, he bought $3.6 billion of Apple stock. Okay, he bought it on the market. Not 1 cent of that money went to Apple. It went just to people who wanted to sell the stock. Then he put all kinds of pressure on Apple to do stock buybacks. In the following 2 years, they did record stock buybacks at the time. They were only $45 billion and $30 billion then. But now they're averaging up around $60 billion. Okay. And then he held the stock for about 30 months. He decided to sell it. And he took a gain of $2 billion.
Wow.
Okay. Now that came from somebody.
Yep.
It might have come from people who, you know, sold the stock too early or late on the stock market. But the $45 billion, or it turned out over $80 billion, that went to support that stock price when he was putting this pressure on Apple, that came right out of Apple and things that Apple could have done with that money. It could have paid all those people you see in the Apple store better.
Yep.
You know, so they could have made those jobs the best jobs you could find anywhere, and that would have created pressure on lots of other companies to pay higher wages for the type of people who work in Apple stores. Okay. There's lots of things. They could have invested in a state-of-the-art fab with a fraction of that money, and we wouldn't be reliant on Korea and Taiwan for high-end fabrication. Apple could have invested in rechargeable batteries. Apple buys its rechargeable batteries from China, and China now has become, partly as a result of that, the leader in EV batteries and in electrical vehicle batteries. So there's a lot of implications of this when you look at the whole system of how that money's used. And the fact is that we have to look at the distribution of income, the creation of wealth, the extraction of wealth, not generally in the economy as a whole, but in terms of a relatively small number of corporations. So I can give you some data here. That
let's hang on. I've got to take care of some of our business, Bill. But when we come back, I want to talk about this like pretty limited group of corporations that is extracting money from the businesses to just make rich people richer, not to pay people more, not to innovate, not to help the U.S. compete. None of it's actually value added in terms of economic growth or economic benefit. It is just making rich people richer. My guest this half hour, and maybe a little extra because, boy, this stuff is interesting, is Bill Lozanek. He is a professor emeritus of economics at the University of Massachusetts. He's written a book called Predatory Value Extraction. We'll just say what that is. Greed, money extraction, how the looting of the business corporation became the U.S. norm, and how sustainable prosperity can be restored. You're not going to want to miss a minute of this, folks. We're going to take care of some quick business. We'll be right back. We'll dig into some of those big companies that are executing these buybacks when we come back after these brief messages.
I find it funny that the left talks about the fair share